Chapter 12. A stranger arrives. One stormy night, I was home alone. Business had called Herbert away for several days. Wind rushed up the river and shook the house as rain threw itself against the windows. The force of the wind and the rain blew out the lamps outside, making the darkness complete. I was reading when I heard footsteps on the stairs. I was not expecting company in this weather, and it was far too soon for Herbert's return. I carried a lamp out the door of our rooms and lit the stairwell, where a stranger stood. His face lit up upon seeing me.
"Mr. Pip."
"That is my name," I said, and I asked him his business. He said he would tell me, but would like to come in first. I stepped back into my rooms and the man followed. He was dressed coarsely in sailor's clothes. I knew of no one like him who should act so delighted at the sight of me. The mystery of it made me nervous, which the man must have seen.
"Of course, there's no reason for a better greeting," the man muttered. "You're not to blame for that. Neither of us is to blame for that."
Finally, my worry boiled up.
"Why do you, a stranger, come into my rooms at this time of night?" I demanded, taking a step toward him.
He grinned then, shaking his head with clear affection at my tone.
"You're a game one. I'm glad you've grown up a game one. But I'd not take on the likes of me if I were you. You'd not like the result."
And it was with those words that time moved under me. I was in a graveyard in the bitter cold, face to face with a desperate man. I knew who I faced. My convict. With that realization, I reluctantly offered my hand. He grasped it and kissed it, shocking me deeply.
"You acted noble, my boy," the man said, "and I have never forgot it."
I thought he was only there to thank me, and I calmed down a bit. I offered him a place by the fire to dry his clothes from the storm.
"You should drink something before you go," I said,
not wanting him to think I wished him to stay. The man looked around him, nodding and smiling, though dabbing at his eyes now and then.
"I received the money you sent long ago," I said. "The 1-pound notes, they were a fortune to me then." "Good, good," he said. "And I see you have done well. May I ask how you come to be a gentleman?" "I was chosen," I said, "to receive an education and funds."
"Ah," he said, smiling again and nodding.
"And might I guess the monthly amount of those funds? Shall I guess 500 pounds?
My heart pounded in my chest with the realization that this man had come for more than to thank me. I wanted to make him stop speaking. I did not want to follow this conversation where it must go.
"And the guardian who is taking care of this," the man said, "is his name Jaggers?"
With that, the room began to spin, and I could not catch my breath. The man leaped from his chair and helped me to the sofa, apologizing for the shock he had given me.
"Yes, Pip, dear boy," he said. "I have made a gentleman of you."
The man told me his name, Abel Magwitch. He said he had been exiled to Australia following the incident from my childhood. In Australia, he had worked tirelessly to make his fortune so he could invest it in making mine. He praised my rooms, my clothes, and the jewelry and watch I wore. It was proof that all he had worked for had met success. He had made a gentleman.
"They mocked me," he said, "those that thought they were better. They called me convict. And all the while I knew that you were becoming a gentleman. And now I've come to see it and to enjoy the sight."
It seemed more than I could take in. I asked him how long he meant to stay.
"I do not mean to leave," he said.
Then he dropped his voice.
"But we must be cautious, Pip. I was sent away for life, and if I am caught in London, they'll hang me."
At that, I rushed to close the shutters. I planned to hide his identity from the woman who kept the rooms. We would say he was my Uncle Provis. Finally, he went to bed in Herbert's room, and I was left to think about my life. I was not a gentleman raised as a match for Estella. Miss Havisham saw me only as practice for Estella's cold displays. All that I was came from a convict. I had turned my back on Joe and Biddy at the whim of a convict. I looked at the things around me as if they dripped blood.
What crimes had driven the convict to Australia? What crimes might he yet commit? Whatever happened to him, I knew, would happen to me as surely as if I were bound to his ankle with a shackle. This time, there would be no file to set us free.